Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I am Andrew Kahn.
I'm Ryan Zook.
And I'm Aaron McMahon.
Michigan women's basketball team is firmly on the NCAA tournament bubble, while the men's season burst a long time ago. We discuss both programs, Michigan hockey and the Wolverines at the NFL Combine, coming up on Wolverine Confidential. Guys, good to be with you here Tuesday night, February 27th, sort of a late night pod as we sort through our various schedules with Aaron in Indianapolis for the NFL Draft Combine, and you know, Ryan and I covering games some of these days and nights. So we're making it work here to make sure we give our listeners what they want. Let's start with basketball. I don't know. What do you guys want to know about either of these teams? What are the burning questions? And then I can answer them.
When's the season over for the men's team?
Yeah, that is a common question that I hear, actually, from fans of the team. But yeah, they got a few more games left. They play Thursday night in Piscataway against Rutgers, Sunday at Ohio State, and then that's when they have their week-long bye, the very end of the season, between the final two regular season games. They get a week off before they host Nebraska the following Sunday in the last regular season game and senior day and all that. And then it's Big Ten tournament time. And they'll be in that first night. You know, that's new. That's new for them to play on that Wednesday night. You know, they're currently in last place, and it sure seems like that's where they're going to finish. So yeah, that answers that question.
I guess at this point, is there like any pieces that the team can maybe build around next year at this point that you're intrigued by? Because I mean, yeah, this season's basically a lost cause. But like, is there anything that fans should look forward to next? Like, hey, we've seen progress from this guy, and maybe he could be a focal point moving forward in next season and beyond.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I mean, there has been no, I mean, by necessity, you know, Juwan has played, you know, some of the guys, you know, further down the bench, including, you know, their younger players in some cases, the lone freshman on the team, George Washington III, and, you know, Yusuf Kayet, the sophomore. You know, when you've got injuries and then for the previous road game suspensions and then, you know, the flu running through the team. Yeah. You had bodies, you had to throw those guys out there. And, you know, Washington in particular, you know, looked good. So there at times, so there's that, but yeah, it's tough. Like this team, there's not necessarily a ton of hope for next year either. I mean, it's certainly going to have to be, you're going to have to hit the portal hard. Again, probably even more than this year because, you know, you're losing several guys again. I mean, you know, three starters and, you know, five of your top eight, you know, something like that. So, yeah, that's problematic. You know, I'll try to get to the bottom of like Namari Burnett, for example, here this week, what his deal is, cause he is going to be honored, at senior day for Michigan, which, yeah, I mean, this is his, you know, fourth year of college, but you know, he's only he's only played a few seasons, you know, a couple seasons. He had an injury, and you know, he missed an entire season, and obviously the 1 year doesn't count for COVID. So like, he could play two more years if he wanted to after this. So that the fact that he's maybe playing none is interesting. But yeah, there's not a ton of hope for this team. I had a story on MLive.com/Wolverines today, kind of how it's gone wrong, how we got here. And yeah, it wasn't a fun story to write, but felt it had to be done.
I did see Doug McDaniel's back. His quasi suspension has been lifted. You have the story up at MLive.com today. Could that make a difference come tournament time? Could they get some continuity going and maybe win a game or two? Is that possible?
Yeah, so that it has been lifted. He's met his academic goals. So now he's I think I've mentioned this on here before. I've certainly written it, like, you know, the university didn't do the program any favors. Like, a suspension for January would have been better than what they've done with this back and forth, but so be it. But yeah, now he's back. Michigan's on their spring break, so I think that, you know, factors in for sure. But yeah, I mean, they're better with him than they are without. There's no doubt about that. But like, you know, he has played in these home games, you know, that they've been losing, you know, most of too. So like, yeah, I mean, there's just still not enough pieces, but he is a guy who has gotten 30 points, you know, multiple times this year, and he can carry you for stretches. So there's a little more hope with him out there, but, I don't know. I mean, they'll try to probably, once Big Ten tournament time comes, maybe talk about Ohio State going from that Wednesday night, you know, into the semifinals of the event last year, you know, trying to make a run like that. But, it's not.
I mean, based on the fan split at Chrysler against Purdue the other day, it seems like fans are pretty much checked out with the team anyways.
That was wild. I mean, again, it was spring break, so you didn't have the students there, but like, still. But yeah, that's just kind of how it is for Michigan basketball. And I'm not, you know, knocking them in any way. Like, it's not like built-in support, you know. You gotta, and that's how it is at most places. I mean, that is the case at most places. You know, Michigan plays in a conference where there's a few teams where that's not the case. You know, in the state of Indiana, they love their hoops, and you know, at Assembly Hall and Mackey, like, they're gonna fill that place, you know, regardless, and they're gonna, you know, give support to the team to encourage them. You know, it's more reactionary at Chrysler and most places. You know, you do well, we will, you know, applaud you, but, you know, not, we'll maybe find something else to do. So, yeah, that's kind of where Michigan is at right now after, you know, not making the tournament last year and then, you know, struggling this year. So yeah, that's kind of where we're at here as the season winds down. The women, on the other hand, you know, they have a shot here to make the tournament. I'll have a story up tomorrow on MLive.com, kind of about their position on the bubble. I'm actually talked to the, you know, ESPN.com bracketologist, you know, women's bracketologist today. You know, he's pretty optimistic about Michigan's chances. Like, they're very much a bubble team as far as their resume. Like, there's no way, they're not really going to play themselves into, you know, hosting a game or anything like that. But he's also confident they'll do what they need to do to get in, if that makes sense. So yeah, that he's got him as one of the last four teams to avoid the play-in game. You know, there's other projections you can find where they're a little worse. Some, you know, they're among the last team out, or, you know, one of the teams in those play-in games. So, you know, opinions on that vary, but huge game for them tomorrow night, Wednesday night at Ohio State. That's Michigan's marquee win this season, biggest win by far. That is just a huge point on their resume right now. You know, winning in Columbus will be a much bigger challenge, but that game 7 p.m. on Peacock. Yeah, Ohio State has not lost since Michigan beat them. They are number two in the country currently, so that would be a huge win for them.
Yeah, I'm not really liking their chances based off what how good Ohio State looks right now, and just that revenge factor too. It's like that's their loss. They're going to be itching to kind of hand it back to Michigan, and I'm looking more at like that Purdue game at home to end the season, where that's like a must win for Michigan, in my opinion. Like, probably, yeah, if you can somehow pull off an upset in Columbus, but it's hard to bank on that with just how dominant Ohio State's been.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of exactly what the ESPN guy was saying too. And, you know, others I've talked to, like, kind of take care of business. This would be a huge bonus, but, you know, just try to be competitive in that game. And then, yeah, make sure you don't slip up at home against Purdue, you know, and then, you know, win the game you're supposed to win to open the Big Ten tournament. You know, the bracket right now, it's not set in stone by any means. Michigan is in, you know, sixth place right now, tied with Maryland. They have the head-to-head win over them, so they have the tiebreaker there. But there's a couple teams only one game back of them in the standings, so there's a range for them to be in. But, you know, most likely they'll be playing on that second day against, you know, one of the winners from the first day. So a team they'd be favored against, and then would set up a, you know, quarterfinal game against one of the top, you know, four teams in the league. So, you know, you kind of split there, and you've you know, held serve, I guess, just to kind of keep your resume where it's at. But, you know, they're hoping to improve their situation. You want to avoid the play-in game if you can, you know, get climb as high as you can in this thing. But, you know, Michigan at least has a chance, you know, right now, unlike the men's team. Let's transition to some hockey right now. Zook, where is that, you know, team at here as we kind of, you know, get towards the end of the regular season?
Yeah, I mean, only one regular season series left, and coming off a massive sweep at home against Notre Dame, kind of needed to have a sweep after letting one slip away the previous weekend against Penn State, and only allowed one goal all weekend. So, I mean, Notre Dame's never really been an offensive dynamo under Jeff Jackson, but I mean, it was still a really solid defensive effort. Jacob Barcheski and net played really well. And I mean, their third periods have kind of been their bugaboo all year. Able to finish off a 4-0 shutout on Friday night. And then, I mean, 1-1, locked in a 1-1 tie on Saturday night. Didn't allow a shot against in the third period for the first 14 minutes. And then scored with just under 3 minutes left to take the 2-1 lead and closed it out for a much needed sweep to improve their NCAA tournament chances heading into Minnesota for another key series this weekend.
What is your take on this year's team right now, as far as, you know, what kind of damage you think they can do in the postseason?
No, that's a really good question. I've been talking with some other people about this too. I mean, right now they're sitting at 14th in the pairwise rankings, which is like right on that bubble. And I mean, they've obviously been a number one seed the past couple years, but if they get in this year, it will be as a 3 or a 4, most likely. And I guarantee you, there's not going to be many one seeds that want to face Michigan in the first round, because when they're on, they're a talented team. They outplay teams for the most part. They've got star power up front, their top line with a bunch of first round picks. So, I mean, their top end is, their ceiling's still very high when they're on. They just struggle in the third periods. And, I mean, sometimes have some lapses, 10, 15 minute lapses in games where that costs them, and they let up some goals defensively or let in a soft goal, and things kind of snowball. So I think if they get in, they definitely have a chance at making a little bit of a run. And in NCAA tournament hockey, you only need to win 4 games to win it all. So still have some work to do. And this weekend against Minnesota will be massive and a big test. Minnesota's still a top 10 team. Obviously, they were the Big Ten champion last year in the regular season, advanced to the national championship before losing to Quinnipiac in the national championship. So, yeah, I mean, Michigan always seems to play well in Minneapolis. And at this point, like, hey, if they sweep, they move all the way up to third place, finish third in the Big Ten, move up to 9 in the pairwise, and that basically, I mean, that puts them in a really good spot to at least earn an at-large bid. If they split, they kind of hang around. They'll probably hang around that 13th, 14th spot. And if they get swept, they can fall outside the top 16. So a lot on the line here. They're probably going to, if they don't sweep, they're probably going to have to win the first round series. And that would probably be against Notre Dame again at home, which was big this past weekend too. That earned them home ice advantage in the best of 3 first round Big Ten series. So yeah, a lot of moving parts, but a massive sweep against Notre Dame, which isn't as dominant as or as good as they've been in previous years, but still a solid team, a deep team, and a strong team defensively and in net. And Michigan did a good job to come out with 6 points.
All right, we've talked some hoops, we've talked some hockey, and I just feel like on this podcast there's just always something happening with the football program. And right now it is the NFL Draft Combine. Aaron, you are there in Indianapolis. I guess kind of set the stage for us. When did you get there? What's happening this week? What has already happened?
Yeah, got in Monday night. I'm here with both our NFL writers, obviously. This is more of an NFL event than maybe college football. But got in Monday night. Tuesday today was largely just NFL stuff. NFL head coaches spoke. NFL GM spoke. Part of the course, Jim Harbaugh opted not to speak to the media. He's one of the few NFL coaches not speaking this week.
Shocker!
So we did not get Jim today. John did talk. He was asked quite a bit about Jim and, you know, his return to the NFL. I have a story up actually right now at MLive.com/Wolverines. Michigan has 18 guys here, an event record, a school record. No other school has sent more. So it's a certainly a good sign for the Wolverines when it comes to the draft at the end of April. They may, in fact, you know, beat Georgia's draft record, but that's the goal here this week. You know, these players are getting themselves in front of NFL scouts, NFL personnel, NFL GMs, and trying to convince them to draft them. Several of these guys will be drafted and drafted relatively early. Some of these guys are going to be, they're going to be question marks. But it's a big week. It's an important week to get yourself not only on the map, but it boosts your draft stock so that you do hear your name called in Detroit at the end of April.
Yeah, I feel like we may have talked about this before, but maybe it was off air as far as Harbaugh and talking at this event. I mean, is it, I kind of thought in the NFL there'd be just like policies. This is when you have to. This is, you're kind of more contractually obligated than college. I mean, college, he's on a schedule, but he could kind of set it, I guess. But this is one of those things where it's a little more, I guess, just informal. Most just do, but you don't have to.
Generally, the way it's been explained to me is that most of these coaches are strongly encouraged to do it. Most of them do. I'd say probably, 90% of them probably are, but there are a handful that are not. It seems like it's generally the first year coaches that are choosing not to, obviously. And look, I get it, right? Like they've got to build out a staff. They've got decisions to make. My understanding is Mike McDonald's not here in Indianapolis. So that explains it. Jim Harbaugh is here in Indianapolis. He's been here since at least Sunday evening. I ran into his dad earlier this evening. He's here. They took in a Pacers game with John Sunday night. Jim is here. In fact, and I think plans to go through the interview process with some of these college players. And it makes sense, right? He knows a lot of these guys. He's familiar with some of their games. So it would make sense that he's here. He wants to be involved. But the decision was made either through him or the Chargers public relations staff not to talk. And as we've known, in covering Jim now for a long time, if you give Jim the option of speaking to the media, he's probably not going to do it.
What pick do the Chargers have in this draft?
5. So they're higher up there, and they've got a lot of, they can go a lot of different directions. They do like the quarterback, so they probably won't go there, but the draft board is largely open for Jim and his staff.
Probably not a Michigan guy then at 5. There's no,
it would be a reach.
Be a reach for anybody. But yeah, future rounds, that's always something to think about. I mean, I thought about that when, Beeline got, went to the NBA that first year with some guys to take, opted not to take Jordan Poole about that with their pick. But yeah.
Corum would be interesting if they don't re-sign Austin Eckler. I think that would be an interesting fit there too. Obviously Harbaugh loves Corum and they want to run the ball more. So that could be a potential later round pick there too. That's one I would be following closely. But yeah, I mean, there's potentially 18 of them that he could choose from. So I would put my money on the Chargers drafting one Michigan player this draft.
They need linemen, and Jim is talked about protecting Justin Herbert, their quarterback. So maybe potential linemen. We'll see. I don't know, what position specifically, but Michigan's got 6 draft eligible linemen. So, it's possible.
We'll have to. I mean, I know I set my over under on Wolverines. It'll have to be a higher number than ever this year that I set it at. And then, yes, we can add some bets, I guess, as far as, you know, as they relate to Harbaugh and the Chargers. All right. Yeah. So, I mean, anything else from there that to kind of just, you know, our listeners should be aware of and look for, you know, content wise, as far as, you know, your coverage of this event.
Yeah. I mean, JJ McCarthy's the big name down here, as you would expect. He is a first round prospect, but there's a potential there. He can go to the top 10. I mean, his stock has been rising the last couple of weeks. All signs point to him doing everything here in Indianapolis. You know, we've gotten reports that Caleb Williams, the projected number one pick, is not going to be throwing here. Jane Daniels, potential number two or number three pick, is not throwing, and neither is Drake May. So this is who is another top three potential quarterback. So there's an opportunity here for JJ McCarthy to make some noise. If he puts in a good week here, interviews well, you know, throws well. He you know, the conventional wisdom right now is that he's the top of kind of the top tier of the tier two quarterbacks. There's a chance for him to kind of put himself in the tier one. I'm not saying he'd be the number one overall pick, but it's possible he could potentially pass up a Jane Daniels as the third guy. So we'll see. Opportunity is there for him. He will be the front center. I think he's set to speak to the media Thursday morning, I believe, Thursday or Friday morning. I can look at the schedule, but we anticipate talking to all these guys. Blake Corum will be intriguing just because, you know, again, he's a guy who could have left last year. He chose not to. You know, obviously running backs aren't necessarily premium in the NFL anymore, so it might hurt him a little bit, but he'll be interesting nonetheless. Junior Colson's a name that's come up quite a bit. He's looking like a lock second round guy at this point, so I'm curious to hear from him. And then Zach Zinner, I mean, he got hurt in the Ohio State game. You know, he told me kind of in the lead up to the Rose Bowl that he anticipated being healthy in time for the draft. I don't think he's going to do any workouts this week, but I'm curious to hear from him and his injury status and where he sits. So a lot going on, a lot of guys down here. You know, Michigan's going to have a real shot to break the single school draft NFL draft record set by Georgia a couple years ago at 15. You know, Jim Harbaugh predicted in the offseason that they would do it, and they're certainly in position to do just that.
Good for JJ, man, and deciding to throw. I mean, I hate when top prospects opt out of so many things there. It's like, why even go just to talk to teams? It's kind of lame. Like, I liked players that are like, no, I'll go out there and prove that I can do this and want to show that I can perform in that setting. And so, yeah, hopefully he does well. And yeah, we'll see where he ends up.
Yeah, I mean, we'll be, I'm sure, talking about it as the draft gets closer. But yeah, he is intriguing just because he doesn't have the volume of anywhere near what, you know, these other guys have as far as just pass attempts and things like that. But I don't know. He's got the, you know, when he needed to, he could do it. But I don't know. And he's, you know, got the mobility and the, you know, all the intangibles, great locker room guy, all that. So, I mean, my feeling is he will be a very good NFL quarterback. But yeah, any team you draft a quarterback in particular, I mean, these high draft picks are very valuable, and using on a quarterback, it, you know, you don't want to be wrong. So will be interesting to see where he goes and, you know, how he does. But yeah, we'll have plenty of coverage of that leading up to the draft, and, you know, this throughout this week in Indianapolis from Aaron. So you can read all our coverage of Michigan Wolverine sports on MLive.com/Wolverines. Thanks for listening.